The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hoop ballers, welcome in. I'm Ron Burgundy? Question mark. Clearly, this is not Devin today getting on the pod for you guys. This is actually Jonathan Martinez at M42TINEZ, the King of Ding, as Mr. Ellington likes to call me. I am one of the many talented hoop ball wager pass cappers. So make sure to follow me on Twitter at M42TINEZ. Today in sports betting, we're going to take a dive into the NBA futures market. Lots of great value that I found on the board. And for this episode, I'm going to be getting my numbers from the FanDuel Sportsbook. Look forward to sharing that with you guys here on today's episode. And before we get started and dive deep into these picks that I have listed for everyone, we're going to talk about our sponsors, of course. Use the code HOOPBALL, HOOPBALL, at mybookie.ag. If you guys follow us on the Wager Pass or even have another subscription that includes the Discord, you'll find that all of our numbers, or most of our numbers, I should say, are from MyBookie. And if you would like to start a MyBookie account, please feel free to reach out to one of the many HoopBall members so we can get you started over at MyBookie. I had a hard time at first finding all the props on the MyBookie website, but once I found them, it was go time pretty much, especially with baseball and the home run props. So make sure you guys are signing up with MyBookie and use the code HOOPBALL. There is a lot of action tonight. Well, I shouldn't say a lot of action, but there's action across the sports world. And it would be the perfect time to start that account, especially with basketball season looming. I know a lot of the people who have subscriptions here on HoopBall are mainly for, you know, basketball reasons. And obviously, we have a lot of sharp minds on our site. And this is how it started with you know, the focus being on basketball. But we've definitely expanded and, you know, We're slowly but surely taking off here. So, yeah, make sure you use that code HOOPBALL over at MyBookie. And then to our other sponsor, Manscaped, right? This is the perfect time right now, especially right now. I like to call this hibernation season. The weather's getting cold, less and less active and wanting to go out to places because You know, eventually it's going to start snowing, depending on where you are in the country, or even outside the country if you're tuning in outside the states. But basically, you know, this is especially for men. You tend to, you know, get a little bushy in some areas, and Manscaped has the perfect products to help with that, and making sure that your bush is nice and trimmed all year long, stay fresh. So if you go to the website, to the Manscaped website, and you want to make a purchase, please use the code HOOPBALL20, HOOPBALL20, over at Manscaped to stay fresh, okay? It's very important to, you know, emphasize on your hygiene. Make sure all the hair is freshly trimmed. Even the nose hairs, you could get a little bushy. Get a little, you know, the little baby hairs could start poking out of the nose. So that could be a warning sign for people. And they see your nose and they go, whoa, you got a lot of hair going on in there. So, yeah, make sure you go to Manscaped, check out the products over there, and use that code, HOOPBALL20. So talked a lot about the sponsors and the codes. Wanted to get that out of the way before we get started with the nitty-gritty today. So, like I mentioned earlier, NBA futures market, I feel like the futures market in every league is getting more and more popular. There's more of an emphasis on looking into the market before the season starts. And for me, I didn't look into the market last season. Especially the player market, I would say. I looked more into the over-unders on the win totals. And if I'm not mistaken, Phoenix at one point was, I think their over-under was 38.5. And it was at plus money to go to the over. Obviously, that easily hit. So, because I didn't end up playing that ultimately, I told myself, we're going to take a deep dive in the 2021-22 season to look into these player props, right? And so, I've done my homework here. So, I wanted to share with you guys some of the props, some of the win totals that I like going into the new season, which I'm very excited about. If you are on the Discord, which is probably one of the most underrated things about not just HoopBALL, but the subscriptions that you can get. And it can be a little confusing. It can be a lot going on, especially right now with people asking about questions in regards to their fantasy drafts. But man, the Discord is a gem. So, you know, everyone, a lot of people have been very active on there. So, as far as NBA goes, I've been active so far on the preseason stuff. And I get it. Preseason is meaningless. And, you know, we're not really getting the full idea of how the rotations are going to be come regular season. There are guys that are sitting out. There are guys that are out due to injuries that they might have suffered, whether it be in the off season or last season. So, you know, but then again, for me personally, I like to watch the preseason because we kind of get a glimpse of some of the guys who maybe the year two, year three guys that are going to turn the corner here or showed glimpses of potential last season where we weren't getting consistent minutes in the rotation. But due to, you know, injuries or offseason moves, trades, signings, whatever the case might be, could either be losing more minutes or gaining more minutes going into this new season. So I like to watch, especially for the younger players who were, you know, higher draft picks or now have more, a bigger role on their team this season, looking to see how they play, right? So I'm going to get started with the player props in the futures market, and then we'll transition to the win totals. So I've looked into three markets in particular. My favorite market is the most improved player market, and we'll look into that first here because I have three picks written down that I like and guys that I could see just really taking a big step forward into their production. Guys that, you know, played, all three of these guys played really well last year. And it's just, you know, a matter of do they really execute and really take advantage of their opportunities here in the 21-22 season, right? So the first guy that I've written down, and it's not the Porter that everyone is glamoring about currently, and rightfully so. Michael Porter Jr. is a great, great talent. He's a world-class scorer. I could definitely see him averaging 24 to 25 points a night this season, especially with Jamal Murray being out and taking over that number two role next to Nikola Jokic, the reigning MVP. But for me personally, I really, really, really like Kevin Porter Jr. of the Houston Rockets. He's currently slated as the second favorite to win most improved player, excuse me. He's at plus 1200 over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And Kevin Porter Jr., no one's really questioned his talent. I think he's had a number of issues off the court that's really, you know, pushed him back from really showing his skill set. And when he went to the Rockets last year, you know, he made a very big impact. He averaged 16 points, almost 17 points a game, 6.3 assists, 3.8 rebounds. And where he could make the jump in this next season is obviously the assist can go up. He's spoken about wanting to average a double-double a night, so 10 assists a game. And, you know, the Rockets are obviously in a rebuild situation. They're going to be focusing in on putting some talent around Porter Jr., Jalen Green, the number two overall pick, and Christian Wood, who, you know, obviously could play a role in this market as well, and most improved player. It's obvious that he has immense talent as a big, but ultimately what stands out for me with that most improved player market is looking for guys who can make a difference across the board, right? They have counting stats, and you know, there's a clear jump from last year to this season. So MPJ, you know, even though he's gonna get a big role with the Nuggets, and I see the points going up. I think also another issue for me with Michael Porter Jr. is obviously the health risk. Not only does he have a track record of getting injured, but also he's spoken out about not being comfortable with getting the vaccination. So there could potentially be a time where he misses a few games, not due to just injury, but maybe COVID related. And there was a point last year where he actually did miss some games due to health and safety protocols. So we gotta keep that into mind here when we're looking at futures markets. And obviously, Kevin Porter Jr. could easily, do something crazy outside of the court, outside of, basketball related things. But, obviously the Rockets have great belief in him. They're looking to move on from John Wall so that Kevin Porter Jr. could be the starting point guard and obviously the point guard of the future to run along with Jalen Green. So Kevin Porter Jr. is the first guy that we're going to be giving out in the most improved player market. And then the second guy that I'm going to talk about, he's my favorite player out of the betting market. And a guy that is going to get a great opportunity to also increase on his stats, his percentages this upcoming season. A guy who a lot of people have been very high on since day one, since he first came into the league. And I think he's gonna get some a little more he's gonna get more recognition, I would say, this season. And that's DeJounte Murray. On FanDuel, he's currently at +2,000. I was able to snag him on Barstool Sportsbook for +4,000, I believe, a couple days ago. So if you guys do have multiple books and they're offering futures bets in the NBA, take a look at the numbers across your books. And obviously you want to cash in on a big number here. So DeJounte Murray last season averaged 15.7 points per game, 7.1 rebounds, and 5.4 assists. DeJounte Murray is a guy who could potentially average close to a triple-double this season. Obviously, I read out those numbers, and he was flirting around with triple doubles last year. He, I believe, had five, maybe six triple doubles last year. So it's not out of the question that he could get the triple doubles. Excuse me, I don't know if you guys could hear my dog in the background. DeJounte Murray, I really like him this year. Great opportunity for him to be the guy in San Antonio. You have a number of departures, guys that had received a lot of usage, most notably DeMar DeRozan going to Chicago. And San Antonio didn't bring anybody in that could, bite into DeJounte's usage or take minutes away from him, I believe. Patty Mills was his backup. He's now gone as well. He's going to be coming off the bench in Brooklyn. Thaddeus Young, not a high usage guy. Rudy Gay was a guy that saw the ball in his hands quite often. He's now in Utah. So, DeJounte, there's honestly there's a lot of guys that you could really look for in this market that play on the Spurs, right? because people are high on Murray, and I am one of them. I am also high on Keldon Johnson. I think him playing in the Olympics and being around, you know, established star players did some good for him, because obviously he's not getting that quality of stardom on his own team with San Antonio. Not to say they don't have guys that are capable players, but, you know, playing in the Olympics, playing with the star power that the USA team had, I think that did some good for him. And honestly, Keldon Johnson, you know, is a super underrated player. And you could, and he's a lot bigger than people think he is. He's got some size on him now. He's about 6'6", 6'7". So he's just could, you know, produce across the board. So he's a guy that I could see, you know, really stepping, making a big step forward for San Antonio. I think that's why they, you know, were willing to let go of DeMar DeRozan, so that Keldon Johnson could ultimately receive more usage, more minutes, and be, you know, their second option. Because I think DeJounte is their number one guy. And then also, you know, another guy on their roster that could perform well this year is Derek White. But the only issue I have with White is that he gets injured a lot. And obviously injury can factor into all these guys. We, you know, there's an element of unknown of when or if these guys are going to get injured throughout the season or sit out due to health and safety protocols. Obviously that's still a factor this season. But DeJounte Murray is screaming triple-double and screaming 20 points a game. So I really like him this year, especially in the most improved player market. I think he's getting snoozed on a bit. And then my last guy, who is already an all-star, already one of the best bigs in the league, I think you can make a strong case for him this year. And the number is really, really juicy at plus 8,500. I'm going to go with Bam Adebayo. And I know he's going to be gunning for Defensive Player of the Year. And I think that he, you know, he has all the talent in the world to accomplish that. But Bam Adebayo is a guy who, if you're tuning in and want somebody who just contributes across the board, Bam's the perfect center in fantasy. And I don't want to digress too much into the fantasy aspect, but Bam's just a monster. He's a beast. He's a freak of nature, a big that can move, and it's quite remarkable how well he can move for his size. He's not a big guy in height per se. He's not the biggest center out there, but he does have some size on him. You know, he's moving around like, man, probably like 270, 260, 270, moving around that weight and able to handle the ball, just be active. His contributing stats last year, especially the blocks and rebounds, he averaged one per game in each category, on top of averaging 18 points a night. The rebounds did go down from the year prior. He was averaging just 9 rebounds a game, and he averaged 5.4 assists per game. And people are a little hesitant about him. We're not hesitant, but worry that the assist numbers are going to go down because Kyle Lowry is there now. But, man, I think Bam you know, we've heard some quotes this offseason from Eric Spoelstra talking about how they want Bam to expand his range. So Bam shooting threes is a scary sight because he already improved his mid-range shooting last year. You know, and he shot 57% from the field, shot 25% from three. And as I stated earlier, the rebounds were down, the assists were up, and then, you know, a block and a steal per game. But if you look at Miami's depth chart, especially with the bigs, they're not really deep with their bigs. They're more deep with their guards. And that's if Oladipo comes back, right? It's been a while since we've seen a healthy Victor Oladipo. But you got guys like Dwayne Dedmon, Markieff Morris, that are potentially going to back up Adebayo. And Miami, I think, did this on purpose because last year they had Precious Achiuwa, who they moved to Toronto when they picked up Kyle Lowry. And he was seeing some minutes at the five. But I think Bam is a guy who might be able to potentially lead the league in minutes per game, right? He averaged 33 minutes a night last year. Could see him going up to 35, 36 minutes. So as efficient as he is, and I'm pretty sure if you look at his per minute stats, they're through the roof. So that's a scary sight for a guy who was already productive last year in 33 minutes that could potentially see another 2-3 more minutes per game this year. I believe, based off of the depth in Miami, I think he's going to be a big part of their offense. He's going to be active on defense. He's already mad that, you know, he didn't get a vote in the GM poll for you know, potentially winning Defensive Player of the Year. He stated that he you know, he doesn't pay attention to those things, and you know, the guy's motivated. I think Bam is a guy who doesn't rest on his morals, right? And year to year we've seen the production go up, and it was not too long ago that he was the second place vote getter and most improved player to Brandon Ingram in 2019, I believe it was. So 8,500 for Bam Adebayo, and like I said, a guy who's made a jump every year in production, a guy who I think could get over that 20 point per game plateau based off of not just the lack of depth with the bigs in Miami, but the injury history of their guards. Stated Oladipo, Kyle Lowry is getting up there. I could see him missing a few games. Jimmy Butler, another guy who, you know, those two guys, Lowry and Butler, play hard, correct? So there's going to be times where they're diving in for balls or flailing at somebody and could potentially break a finger or break a wrist. And those are guys that, you know, if they're out, Bam easily becomes their go-to guy. And everything's going to run through him. So Bam Adebayo at plus 8,500 is my long shot in the most improved player market. And this is a smooth transition now into the six-man award winner. Another Miami Heat player. A guy who didn't make the big jump that people were expecting year two, but I think year three could capitalize on that potential. A guy who I think isn't getting talked up enough in the six-man award market. A guy who this offseason put on some weight, some muscle. It's very notable if you take a look at him. And a guy who had his first child in the offseason. And you might wonder why is that? Does that have any correlation to play on the court? Tyler Hero, you know, he made a big splash in the bubble his rookie year, right? And then a lot of people thought, man, he's gonna take off in year two. Did play well. He averaged 15 points a game, but Miami is going to be leaning on him this year, especially coming off the bench to produce. And I touched a bit on this with Bam and why I believe he has every chance to winning the Most Improved Player Award. I also believe Tyler Hero has every chance to win Sixth Man of the Year. And here's why. 9 out of the last 10 six-man award winners were guards, right? Guards that could score, guards that were on playoff teams. And I don't think there's any doubt that Miami's going to make the playoffs, right? But they have some glaring holes that I just mentioned with their, not only just their bigs, but they just have a lack of depth across the board, I feel like. You know, the guards are pretty established. The guards are pretty established. You know, Kyle Lowry, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, and Victor Oladipo whenever he comes back. I know Gabe Vincent saw some minutes last year. I think he'll be a guy who's still in the rotation this year. But man, Tyler Hero, he's gonna get minutes at the one and the two. And we've seen a little bit of that already in the preseason, him handling the ball. And like I said, Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry are due for injuries this year. I just feel like they just can't, the way they play, they're due for injuries. And it's not to wish bad upon them. By no means am I wishing ill on them. But they play hard, like I said. And that sets up for injuries. Little injuries that I talked about, right? But man, Miami off the bench is not looking that great. And like I said, Tyler Hero is their only guy that I could really see that's playing right now, that's able to come out there and play, right? That can really make an impact. Victor Oladipo, more likely than not, is going to be coming off the bench because they really like Duncan Robinson. He spaces the floor better than anyone on their roster. But Oladipo's just had issues staying healthy. Last year, he only played 33 games. The year before that, only played 19. And then in 18-19, he only played 36. So I think Oladipo is going to be unavailable more than he'll be available this year, just based off of his health. So Tyler Hero, man, I think he's a guy that could come off the bench, put up 18 points a night, you know, contribute, obviously, in the assist column. If he's going to be playing the backup point guard and two guard role, he's a capable playmaker. You know, I think the expectations were a little too high last year based off of the depth that they had. And if you look at his full stats from last year, he averaged 15 points a game, 5 rebounds, 3.4 assists, shot 36% from 3 and 43% from the field. So I honestly believe that the field goal percentage goes up. I think the 3-point percentage can go up as well. The rebounds, I mean, he could board well for a guard. I think the assists are for sure going to go up. And then the points, I mean, the points are the big key here, is the points are going to go up. You know, he had a 2-point increase from his rookie year to his second year in the points category. The rebounds were up, the assists were up, the 3-point and field goal percentage, or the 3-point percentage went down a bit in year two, and the field goal percentage went up a point from his rookie year. So another guy on Miami who continues to get better. Like I said, people might say that he had a disappointing year too, but I just believe that's more so the fact that the expectations were just a bit too high for Hero. So I believe he has every chance to win Sixth Man of the Year. You know, Jordan Clarkson is the favorite going into this market and going into this season. He won it last year, but Utah did get some more guys off the bench. I mentioned Rudy Gay earlier. They have Eric Paschal, so they got some guys, you know, and then Joe Ingles should be coming off the bench. So they got a little more deep out in Utah. So I think Hero is in a prime spot to, you know, make up for the lack of depth and also cash in on these added opportunities with Goran Dragic now in Toronto. So we took a look already into the most improved player market. We already looked into the six-man market. I'm going to take a look at the rookie of the year market. And for whatever reason, FanDuel does not have the Rookie of the Year listed on there. But there's two guys that I like and might want to take a look into on your sports books. The first guy is the second pick of the 2021 draft, and that was Jalen Green. In Houston, he's already got an advantage versus these other rookies that are coming to the league because he took a different route to getting into the NBA. Last year, he played on the G League Ignite team where he averaged 18 points a game. And I think that's going to bode well for him. I also think If Jonathan Kumonga was in on Golden State, I think it would bode well for him as well if he was on a different team, because both of those guys were able to play against guys who have NBA experience, rookies that were in and out from the G, sent down to the G League and up to the big league team. So Jalen Green is just a world-class scorer. And obviously they're going to, you know, the Rockets are going to put the ball in his hands quite often this year. He's going to be the starting two guard next to Kevin Porter Jr. And like I said, just a world-class scorer, could give you buckets from inside and outside. I think he's going to be a better defender than people expect. He's about 6'6". He's a 6'6 guard. And he can move to the three. He's got a nice wingspan. So I believe he's a guy who is going to get a lot of playing time. He's going to be out there scoring quite often. I think he's going to lead the rookies in scoring. Not to say that Cade Cunningham is not a good player. I just think that the pieces around Green are a little bit better than what Cade has going in Detroit. It might have been different had the Pistons drafted Tyrese Haliburton instead of Killian Hayes, right? Because then you're looking at a draft where you got Haliburton with your first pick, Sadiq Bey with your second, who looks like a very quality rotation guy, a 3-and-D player, and then Isaiah Stewart, who is a man-child. Just like Bam, not the biggest in height, but just has muscle everywhere and can jump out the gym and crashes the boards hard and dives for loose balls, and just a guy that you can put in the middle of your defense and can you know, move around and can you know, cover on pick and rolls and stuff like that. So those are nice role players, but Cade's not going out there with guys like a Michael Porter or a Kevin Porter Jr. or a Christian Wood or even a Eric Gordon, who could potentially be moved because he's a guy that doesn't want to be in a rebuild situation, right? But yeah, I mean, Houston's got some talent there. So I think Jalen Green is one of the better bets to go with for Rookie of the Year. And then my second one is Josh Giddey. He's a guy that was getting blown up. He's been getting talked about quite a few times in our Discord. So that's what kind of drew me in, on top of how he looked in his first preseason game for the Thunder. Another guy who's going to see a great deal of opportunity in OKC. I could see, you know, him being thrown out there with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, with Lu Dort, at times running that three-guard rotation. He's 6'5", 6'6", as well. He's another big guard, maybe even taller than that. But, you know, he's drawing comparisons to, and this is always going to be the case because everyone does this every year, drawing comparisons to guys like, you know, a Luka Doncic, because he's making the jump from playing overseas professionally to the NBA. And then even more so, a guy I could see a little similarity with, and a guy who ended up winning Rookie of the Year last year, LaMelo Ball. He's got some LaMelo Ball in his game, bigger guards that can contribute across the board. What stood out to me about Giddey in that preseason game was his playmaking, but his relentlessness going to the bucket. He was able to finish through contact, finish over bigger guys, and he's not the he's not a speed demon out there, but he's just crafty, and that's what, you know, Luka is able to hone it. He's able to hone in on that because he's very crafty. He's big, obviously, but he's crafty. He's not the most athletic guy out there, but he's very crafty. And I've seen the craftiness already. Granted, it was a preseason game from Josh Giddey, and he's gonna be a guy who's gonna be one of the longer odds potentially on your boards going into the season for Rookie of the Year. So I would look into Green. Obviously, he's one of the he has the second best odds. But also look into Josh Giddey as well. So those are it for the player props for the award winners. And if you guys have any other player odds, or you know, most improved players that you like, or any other of the markets that I maybe didn't touch on, like MVP, Defensive Player of the Year. Please let me know. Reach out to me via Twitter or via Discord. We could talk about those as well. Interested to see where you guys are thinking. But yeah, those are guys that I just think that have a great deal of opportunity, and playing time is key, right? Because we could look at some other guys who have kind of, you know, caught our attention in preseason thus far. But it's a matter of opportunity for me, and a matter of, like, you've already shown that you can make another jump, or you have contributed in a big way early on in your career or so far in your career. A lot of these guys that I do have listed, I've realized that are younger players. But I think that bodes well for me because these are guys that are jumping onto the scene if they haven't already done so, and are clearly making improvements in their game. You know, they're still relatively new in the league. I think the two guys that have been in the league the longest have been DeJounte Murray and Bam Adebayo, but those are two guys that, you know, Bam, I already talked about, just every year's made an improvement, and DeJounte is a walking triple-double, so really like those picks. So now I'm going to go into the win totals. I'm going to start with some overs that I have here and talk about why I believe these teams will exceed their win totals. First, I'm going to start off with the Sacramento Kings. And hopefully, our big dog, Aaron Brewski, could take a listen to this, because I know he's a guy that works for the Kings. On top of being the big dog here at HoopBall, maybe him and I can talk about this. But I think the Kings are gonna go over their win total this year. Set at 35.5, could take the over at -122. I think the under is at +100. But Sacramento, they are an up and coming team. They have talent. I think their front office has been a nightmare. They've been all over the place. Do I think Luke Walton is the guy? That's debatable as well. But there is no shortage of talent on their team. They lucked in last year into getting Tyrese Halliburton in the draft.
He made a big impact right away. A couple of Rookie of the Month honors early on. Obviously, De'Aaron Fox, another guy who could be an all-star this year. Buddy Hield. Lights out shooter. Marvin Bagley. That guy needs to make a jump. We've seen potential, but not consistency. Rashard Holmes. One of the more underrated players in the league. High energy guy. But, yeah, I mean, they were 31 and 41 last year, right? So, we're getting a 82-game season, I believe. Could be wrong about that. I think we're getting a 82-game season. But I think we are getting an 82-game season. I'm sorry. I was looking that up to just double-check, right? But so that's 82 games. They won 31 in a 72-game season with a lot of hot and cold streaks in between, right? They won a couple few winning streaks last year. I do remember this because I bet on them a few times during their win streaks. Some money lines and some spreads, excuse me. But they picked up Davion Mitchell in the draft. Talked about the quality young players they already have on this roster. So Sacramento is a team that stands out to me as a team that can go over their win total. Picked up Tristan Thompson, guy that's obviously a vet at this point, has a ring. But yeah, nothing crazy. You know, Tristan Thompson and Davion Mitchell are the guys that stand out as the pickups, right? But they're gonna focus in on developing Haliburton. I believe his 13 points per game from last year goes up. Buddy Hield could potentially be a sixth man if they don't move him. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Buddy. And then Fox, 25 points a game, 7 assists. He's another guy that could take another big step here. So I'm high on the Kings as far as this win total. I think they go over 35 games. So the Kings are the first team I like. The second team, I'm going to go with the Charlotte Hornets. The over at 37.5 and minus 115 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Charlotte surprised a lot of people. I think we can safely say that Michael Jordan has some sense of what he's doing out in Charlotte now after struggling to get quality players in the draft. They hit it out of the ballpark with the Rookie of the Year, reigning Rookie of the Year, LaMelo Ball. They went and traded Kemba Walker for Terry Rozier, who had a big year last year, career high in points. Gordon Hayward looks right again. He looks like he's back. LaMelo's going to be the starting point guard this year because Devontae Graham is now with the Pelicans. So That was smart by them to move on from Graham and allow allow LaMelo to be that starting point guard. And they also added some guys on top of already having guys. Talked about Hayward, Rozier, and Ball. But Miles Bridges made a big step last year. PJ Washington is a guy, is a two-way player, can knock down a three and protect the rim. They went and basically upgraded from Cody Zeller to Mason Plumlee. I think that was a super underrated pickup on top of getting some more depth at the three spot with Kelly Oubre Jr. I think that was a good pickup as well. And then in the draft, they went and got James Bouknight out of UConn. World-class scorer there. Picked up another vet in Ish Smith to back up LaMelo Ball. Just think that the Hornets have an immense amount of talent. And their rotation's really nice, right? You could potentially see PJ coming off the bench this season to play the backup five. I don't think I don't see Kai Jones being the backup, the rookie out of Texas. But I do see a scenario where you slot Miles Bridges at the four and you bring PJ Washington off the bench to play the five. But Charlotte's a team that made a step in the right direction last season. They were a part of the play-in tournament. They were 33 and 39. Kind of tailed off towards the end of the season. But I think they could get five more wins this year. I really do. Get a full go season of LaMelo Ball year two. Like I said, the key guys made steps in the right direction last year in production. It's a matter of health, especially with Gordon Hayward. Him being out at the end of the season really hurt the Hornets. But it seems like him, LaMelo, and Scary Terry have good chemistry. Like, really good chemistry. They played way better when LaMelo Ball was the primary ball handler, right? Or I wouldn't say primary ball handler because all three of those guys handle the ball. But when he was in instead of Devontae Graham, it seemed like the ball moved a lot better around the court. And just gave him more upside, I believe, and more length. So it just, I think, Charlotte Hornets, they're a team I could see winning close to 40 games. They're going to be up there if they win the 38, at least the 38, but I could see them winning 40 games. But my favorite pick on the board here, and kind of similar to how I felt about Phoenix last year, is how I'm thinking about this team this year. And that's the Atlanta Hawks. And you want to talk about depth on a team? You look at this roster, and I don't think any team in the NBA has as much deep, you know, roster ability. Like, you could go 10, 12 deep in this on this team, right? You're obviously not going to see that happen. You might see it happen because they played a lot of guys last year. But the Atlanta Hawks, over 47.5 wins at minus 110 is my favorite bet on the board as far as the win totals. And here's why. Atlanta was 41-31 last year, fifth in the East. Obviously made a big playoff run and went all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. But if you look at this team's depth chart, it just got even better from last year. They were already deep last year. We saw that last year, right? But this year, man, they got some horses to throw out there. On top of bringing back they basically brought back everyone that they had last year that played in the rotation, who saw key minutes and whatnot, right? So their starting lineup currently projected is obviously Trae Young, Bogdan Bogdanovic, DeAndre Hunter, John Collins, and Clint Capella. And then they already had Lou Will. They already had Kevin Huerter. They had Cam Reddish, a guy who I think is a crazy, crazy talented player. Gallo. And then they went and added two super underrated pickups. Like these guys are basically guys who could potentially start on other teams. I would say more the guard than the big that I'm gonna talk about. But DeLon Wright being the backup for Trae Young in Atlanta when last year they really didn't have a backup. You Lou Will would come in and slot in at the one, but he's a two guard. He's a scorer. Now you have a legit backup point guard who could start games for you. A guy who contributes across the board, right? Guys that stand out to me that can contribute across the board. DeLon Wright last season played 63 games, averaged 10 points a night, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists. That's your backup, right? That's quality. Quality backup play. Quality bench. On top of already having a quality bench. Okay? And then Gorgui Dieng. He's the perfect guy for this team. And here's why. He can play defense, right? He can protect the rim a bit. But I think the thing that stands out with this pickup is his ability to shoot from deep. Shot 42% from three last year. And he shot 52% from the field. So he's a guy who just a quality big man. Quality big man. You know? He's a quality big. And they still do have Onyeka Okongwu. And he's gonna be out for a bit because I believe he had shoulder surgery. So he's going to be out. So he might factor into that big rotation. But man, they have quality depth. Like quality depth. Like if somebody, say, Trae Young is out, you're in a slot right into the point guard position. Bogdanovic, if he's out anytime, you're in a slot. More than likely Kevin Huerter into that two guard role, right? DeAndre Hunter. You could put Kevin Huerter in there. You could put Cam Reddish in there. So they're deep. They're deep. And I really like this team. We saw what they can do, especially in the postseason. I think that's a team that sky's the limit. And I really like what they were able to do in the draft as well. They were able to pick up two guys that fell. The first one was Jalen Johnson. He was slotted to be a lottery pick. He only played a handful of games for Duke and then decided to opt out. We saw in Summer League what he can do. Don't think he's gonna be a big part of this year, but maybe in the future he'll potentially have a role on this team. But he reminds me a lot of John Collins, to be honest. He's a guy that could run the floor. Not the shooter that Collins is right now, but Collins didn't come into the league with a great jump shot. He was a decent shooter, but he's worked on his 3-point shooting. And I think that Jalen Johnson's a guy that could pan out that same way as well. And then Sharif Cooper, another guy who's thought of as a lottery or at least a first-round pick, they get him in the second round. So Atlanta's doing some things, and I really like their win total this year at 47.5. I don't think it's too high. I think they're very capable of getting to potentially 50 wins this year. And then my last one, it's going to be an under. The Indiana Pacers. I'm going to go with their under 42.5 at -110. This is a team on paper who have some names, right? There's no doubt in that they have talent. The Pacers do. But for me, it's just the availability of these guys year in and year out. So Malcolm Brogdon's dealt with injuries. Domantas Sabonis, same thing, right? But two of your big-time scorers, like big-time scorers in Caris LeVert and TJ Warren, those guys get injured quite often. LeVert is always on the injury report. TJ Warren barely played last year and is dealing with a foot issue now. Miles Turner, he's returning off of an injury. And he was a monster in fantasy because of his blocks. But Indy really didn't address anything in the offseason. They basically stayed packed, picked up Torrey Craig, get Jeremy Lamb back, another guy injury prone. He's been off the court more often than he's been on. He only played 36 games last year. They brought back TJ McConnell, but he's not much of a scorer. So it's the thing about Indy is like I do like the guys that they have. It's just they're always unavailable. And you know, a guy like O'Shea Brissett, he saw meaningful playing time last season. I think he's gonna be in the rotation. I think he should be a part of the rotation. Either as the backup four, maybe even play. He's going to be legit the backup four, but he could also play five if they go small. But, man, ultimately, I just think that this team is too injury prone. You got all these guys that are not playing many games. Like key players, you know? Key players. Warren only played 4 games last year. Jeremy Lamb played 36 games. Caris LeVert played 47 games. Miles Turner played 47 games. So you see the trend here. See the trend here. And obviously their division got a little better. The Central. Excuse me for the long pause. But yeah, the Central division got a lot better. Well, not even a lot better. I'm mainly focusing in on the Bulls, right? The Bulls, their win total scares me. I'm not going to even talk about them because I'll go on and on about the Bulls, right? But Indiana, I just believe their lack of guys that can stay healthy. They just have so many injury-prone players, which sucks because if all the pieces were there, they could easily go over this 42.5, right? I believe. They won 45 games last year. You know? No, excuse me. They won 34 games last year. They won 34 games last year. Let me get it right. They won 45 the year before. So they went down. They won 34 games last year. So this win total is basically expecting all these guys to come back. That's what I'm looking at, is that it's expecting all these guys to come back and have a full year, right? Or at least play half of the season, right? You already got Warren, who's going to be out for probably the first couple of weeks of the season. Caris LeVert can't stay healthy. It's always a number of injuries. He's got the world of talent, but he just can't stay healthy. You know, Brogdon's always missing a few games. Sabonis dealt with some injuries towards the end of the year because he was just gassed. He was gassed. And then you got Miles Turner returning from injury. Injuries, 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 injuries. That's clearly what scares me about this Pacers team. And because they don't have, like, crazy depth like the Hawks do, where a guy, like I said, Trae Young could sit out and you could throw in a Lou Will or a DeLon Wright, or even down the board with at the three or the two, where you could throw a number of different guys out there. Indiana doesn't have that luxury. And they're really riding on their main guys to produce for them at a high level. And you can't produce on a high level if you're not even on the court. So that's my biggest concern with them, and it's the reason why I believe they're not gonna make the playoffs, or not win. Maybe they could make the playing game again, or the playing scenario, but at least to win 42 games, I don't think, or 43 games, I don't think is gonna happen. And I could be totally wrong. I could be totally wrong, because right now the over is also at -110. But I just think the big emphasis for me with the Pacers is availability. That's it for me today, guys. Really appreciate you guys tuning in to another episode of Today in Sports Betting from the one and only Hoopball. Like I said, you guys can catch me at M42TINEZ on Twitter. If you guys want to discuss some more bets or fantasy things, I'm trying to get more into the fantasy conversation over on the Discord. Please hit me up on Twitter or on the Discord. Hope everyone has a blessed Thursday. More preseason to get to. Catch me on the Discord giving out some preseason plays. But yeah, thank you guys again. And best of luck. Like my boy Devin says, good vibes, good energy to everyone out there. And hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. Take care.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.